This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Mi'raj and the Isra in the Quran in two separate surahs. In the first surah, Suratul Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers only to the Isra, where Allah says, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, glorified be Allah who took his servant on the Isra journey. On the Isra journey. What is the Isra journey? The Isra journey is the journey between Mecca and Bayt al-Muqaddas. And the Mi'raj journey, which is in Surah Al-Najm, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى أفتمارونه على ما يرى ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى إلى آخر الآيات أفرأيتم لقد رآه من آيات ربه الكبرى. So, two journeys in one night. The first journey, so the journey was divided in fact into three parts. Journey between Mecca and Bayt al-Muqaddas, journey between Bayt al-Muqaddas through the seven heavens, and then the final journey from the Sidrat, behind the Sidratul Muntaha. And the ulama tell us that for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to have undertaken these three separate journeys, he had undergone three separate personality changes or changes. In the first part of the journey, he communicated only with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who was transformed into a male form, a human form rather. And he would ask Jibreel a question, and Jibreel would answer the question. The second part of the journey through the seven heavens, another transformation took place of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here he communicated with the angels, spoke to the angels, and they would answer his questions. Here he would communicate with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And then finally, beyond the Sidratul Muntaha, where, of course, as you know, Jibreel could not accompany him, his communication and meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question we always ask ourselves and must always ask ourselves is, what relevance has the Isra and the Mi'raj have for Muslims now, yesterday, until the day of Qiyamah? Is it merely a journey to show the greatness and glory and might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are there any lessons for us in the Mi'raj? After all, we gather every year to celebrate the Mi'raj. Although we didn't take place on the 27th night of Rajab. Nobody knew when it took place. But somehow, in order to remind us of this great journey, the 27th of Rajab has more or less been allocated to bring about the revival, to keep the revival of this night going. Even a night like Al-Qadr, like Laylatul Qadr, on which Allah had revealed the Quran, there was also difference of opinion. Of course, the most accepted opinion is that it happened on the 27th night of Ramadan. The other question that is asked and about which there are differences of opinion is the question of Ru'yatullah. Did the Nabi see Allah? This is the last question, but I'm bringing it first in order for you to understand the relationship between Allah and His creation. Did the Nabi see Allah? Of course, in Surah Al-Najm, one can draw very direct conclusions about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى. While he was at the highest point of the horizon, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أو أدنى. He was at the distance of maybe two bow lengths. And the assumption is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أُوحَىٰ. And Allah revealed to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which He wished to reveal to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَىٰ. And the Prophet did not lie about what he saw. أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَىٰ مَا وَرَىٰ. Allah says, do you want to dispute with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what he saw in the Isra and the Mi'raj? وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَىٰ. Again, the question of seeing, sight, ra'ah, means to see. It means there is something in front of you and you see that something with your eyes. So did the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way? Let's look at what the Quran says about the seeing of Allah in other verses of the Quran, because the Quran tafsirs itself. Tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. If you want to find out what something means in the Qur'an, see where else that matter or issue is mentioned in other parts of the Qur'an, and see whether the other mentioning of those facts or factors or matters is explained. And in this instance, we can go back. For example, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam. Because can Allah be seen by human beings? I mean, this is a good. Can Allah be seen by human beings, by human sight? Of course, on the day of Qiyamah, we can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya. Musa said to Allah, Musa alayhi salam, I think I said this in one of my Jumas. Musa said, oh my Lord, I want to see you. I would like to see you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was Allah's reply to that? What was the reply of Allah? Allah said, Lan tarani. Lan tarani. You cannot see me. Allah didn't say, I cannot be seen. Very important. Allah didn't say, Musa, but I cannot be seen. No, Allah said, you cannot see me. In other words, in the state that you are now, you cannot see me. Undur ila jab. Allah says, look at the mountain. If you can look at the mountain, I will send one of my rays of nur on the mountain. If you can withstand that, فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِ, then you'll be able to see me. So Allah sent the nur of His light on the mountain, and Musa fell in a faint. There's no way he could see Allah. In the state that he was, he couldn't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means there is a state in which human beings will find themselves in which they will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that state, of course, is the state of the Akhirah, but which we know very little except that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had brought for us and told us. In fact, one of the greatest tests of the belief of Mi'raj is the test in the ghaib, the unseen. I mean, I tell you this every year, and all the ulama talk about this. And this is the test. The test is, how committed are we in believing in that which we cannot see? And that is the yardstick by which we measure our iman. How strong is my faith in that which I cannot see? And therefore, if you look, and I said this in one of my Jumas, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an would be the second man to enter Jannah. And how did he attain this status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He attained the status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because when the news came, even before this, when the news came that Abu Bakr was, whatever Muhammad says, I accept. That's why it was called As-Siddiq. So that should be our faith. If somebody says to us, that is what Allah said, we say, Sami'na wa ata'na. There are two things connected to a command from Allah. If Allah gives a command, there's not only obedience. There are two things connected. There are two responses which we must have when Allah gives a command. The first response is acceptance of the command. The second response is to do the command. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes salah, and I ask you, brother, why don't you make salah? Don't you believe in salah? He says, no, I believe in salah. Otherwise, he's accepted. He has passed the first stage, he's accepted salah. But he doesn't do salah, so he's an asi, he's a sinner. But he's still a Muslim. But if you ask the man, do you make salah? He says, no, I don't believe in salah. He's kafir. But the man who says this, I believe in salah, he's not blissful of the salah, he's still a Muslim. Because he has accepted the first requirement of taklif. The first requirement of religious responsibility is to accept the command of Allah without question. You can't say, I accept, I have to make salah, but. No. So I know I have to make salah, full stop. But it's about me. So, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear, never says in the Quran, I cannot be seen. Allah says, you cannot see me. It means then, at the ayat of the Quran as well, it means then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be visible to the eye which Allah transforms in order to see Him. Now, for us living in this age, this is nothing unusual, isn't it? I mean, we've just won a big contract. Between us, I think, is New Zealand or Australia? Australia. We fought hard and with lots of money throwing into the negotiations to host those telescopes that will be able to see, I mean, into the, what? We got 60%. But I mean, those microscopes will be able to maybe see the Big Bang, you know, when stars that are billions and billions that you can't see with the naked eye. The nearest star that you see, you look, see all the stars, they're all flashing in the sky. But the nearest one to us is 2 billion light years away. 2 billion light years. Now, what is a light year? A light year is the distance light travels in a year. And light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Yeah. 186,000 miles per second. So can you imagine 2 billion years light traveling? So it gives an indication. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, I will show you as time goes on. سَنُرِيمْ آيَاتٍ, I will show them my signs, says Allah. فِي الْآفَاقِ, in the heavens. وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and in themselves. What signs? Then this is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this book is the truth that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Qur'an. So having said that, that is the context in which we must see the Mi'raj. Beyond our understanding. Except that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us. At the start of this journey, Jibreel gave the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a container of milk and a container of wine. And he said, O Muhammad, choose. Of course, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the milk. He chose the milk. I looked at this and I said to myself, no, what is the significance of this? Oh, of course, great significance in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't choose wine. But is that really why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed Jibreel to start this heavenly journey of such immense amazement to humanity and to mankind with such a simple gesture? Is the gesture really so simple? Is this which Allah had asked Jibreel to do, to ask Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make this choice? There must be something more significant to this than just a choice between wine and milk. And when the Nabi took the milk, Jibreel says, قَدْ هُدِيتَ إِلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. So it wasn't just giving the milk. He said to Jibreel, Jibreel said to him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have been guided. Listen, this is very important message. If I just give you this milk message tonight, this is not 2%. This is not fat-free milk. This is the real McCoy. This is 100% milk as it came from the cow. If I just give you this message tonight, I think it would suffice you for the rest of your life. What is the message? He took the milk and Jibreel said, قَدْ هُدِيتَ إِلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. You have been guided to what? To fitra. Then I went to look up this word. You know, my first port of call always is the Quran. Even if I look for an Arabic word, I don't go to the dictionary first. I have a book, I'm not Hafiz. So I have a book in which every word of the Quran is in, and all the ulama have that book, all the imams, everybody's not a secret book. Some. It's sold in every bookshop everywhere in the world. You know, so nothing strange or new or something special. So if you want to look up a word, like, for example, fitra, I go to fa and I look up, ah, there's fitra. So it will show me fitra you can find in so many verses of the Quran, and that's the number of the surah, and that is the number of the verse. So you don't have to be hafiz. Any verse, any word you can look up. So I went and look up the word fitra. Where does this word appear in the Quran? Once only. Ah. So this must be a special word. It's like the word ahad. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. أَحَد! قُفُوًا أَحَد. Oh, with the same verse. In the same surah. Maaf. So, yeah, twice, sorry, maaf. You see? It's uncorrected. Shukran, jazakallah. So in the beginning of the surah Al-Ikhlas and the end of surah Al-Ikhlas. Misli altid its. That's the beauty of the Quran. So, fitrah. Fitrah appears once in the Quran. Where does it appear in the Quran? It appears in 30-30. Surah 30, verse 30. Surah Ar-Rum. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ أَلَّتِي فَطْرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Ar-Rum 30, you must make a mental note when you go home, you look it up. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, set your face. I mean your whole life. Set your whole life. Face what? لِلْدِينِ حَنِيفًا. To the deen of the Hanif. What is the deen of the Hanif? What is? Who was called Hanif? Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. He was called Hanifan. Hanifan Musliman. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَا. He said, I'm a Hanif. I'm a Muslim. I make no shirk. What does the word Hanif mean? And we know that Walaqa ibn Nawfa, who told Khadija that your husband is going, is the last. He was, who were those people? They were people who believed in the oneness of Allah. Hanif. It's a person who believes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your iman should be at the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what, why? Because Allah says, fitratullah. This is the natural. What is the natural deen of Allah? The fitrah of Allah. That Allah is our creator, we are his creation, we are those who he created. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ. And why did he create us? إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He created us for none other than to worship him. Then Allah says, La tabdi. Same verse, continuation of the same verse. La tabdi. Allah says, and this, what man has been created for, to magnify the oneness of Allah, will never change. This will never change. ذَلِكَ دِينُ قَيِّمُ. This is the true religion. This is the true faith. To submit to the oneness of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, but most people know not. Most people know not. Most people are unaware of this fact. And we know this. That's why two-thirds of the world are not Muslim. They submit to gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they give partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Jibreel said to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are guided towards the natural flow and ebb of life. Milk. Milk comes from two sources. Milk comes from the mother, straight from the mother breath into the mouth of the baby. Unadulterated milk. Pure milk. And if we still lived 20, 30 years ago when the dairy was on the corner, and we used to go and buy milk in the bottle, there was no 2% milk. There was no fat-free milk. Everybody got the same milk. And we should take a spoon and take the cream off the top of the milk. Cream was so thick on top of every bottle of milk that you bought. Pure milk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Jibreel to give the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this milk. And this milk represents the deen of Allah, fitratullah. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wine? So one is the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that man meaning untouched by fertilizers and chickens that are injected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have chosen for you a life of purity. Do not adulterate. And what is more, fitratullah. Allah says, I've given you the deen of fitrah. What is the deen of fitrah? La ilaha illallah. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not what goes into Allah says, and this the other thing was the wine. Surah An-Nahl, which is the 16th surah of the Quran, verse 67, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ وَالْأَعْنَابِ تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنُّ سَكَرًا وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا. This verse was revealed before wine became haram. What does Allah say? Allah says, and fruit of the date palm, and fruit of the grapevine. تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ, you have made from it strong drink. وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا, and from it comes pure sustenance. From it comes pure sustenance. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's called rifqan hasana. And when it's changed into wine, it's called sakar or maskar. Something which takes your mind away. Something which removes your understanding. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Tell your ummah, العقل منفذ التكليف من الله. Tell your ummah that the window to religious responsibility is your mind. You worship Allah through your mind. That's why when you're lazy to make salah, it's not a physical laziness. It's your laziness is in your mind. Your mind tells you, don't make salah now, wait a minute, wait a little bit, sleep a little bit more, work a little bit more. You can always do it after lunch. Finish this, what you're doing here first, you know. Still have another 3 hours to make it, and then the time goes. And then Asr comes and you say, well, I'll wait until I get home. And you get stuck in traffic and you get home after Isha and you have to make Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَنْ فَاتَتُ صَلَاةُ الْعَصْرِ فَقَدْ حَبِثَ عَمَلُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you miss Salatul Asr without a good reason, his whole day's work is zero. So Allah's your brain by taking strong drink. And wine, which man has made by adulteration, interferes with the mind. So when the mind is interfered with, man cannot make choices, because if your mind is clouded, the thing which is affected is your choice. You make all the wrong choices. Isn't it so? And you don't have to drink to make the wrong choices. Some people are old. They become senile. Then they make their will. That's a queer man. He's now 75. He comes to me, Sheikh, make my will. But because he's senile and he can't make the right choices, he tells me what to put in the will. And when I tell him, Haji, you can't do it this way. This is haram. This is against the Quran. You know, the Quran is laid down. You know, you have to do this. He says, no, Sheikh, I want, this is mine. This is, I want. Yeah, but I said, seen as Mr. Sam. Yeah, Sheikh, because it is the mind that is clouded. The mind is clouded. You can't make choices anymore. So don't make your world when you're 75. And you're laughing, what's the matter of Jannah and Jahannam? If you make your will according to what you want, you go to Jahannam, straight. And you say, but Sheikh, how can you put people in Jahannam? Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Why? Because the will is in the Quran. 1/8 for the wife, so much for this. So much for if there's only a daughter. So much if there's only, so much for your mother. So much for your father. So if you don't do it according to that Quran, then you are going directly against the command of Allah. Directly against the command. Like this. You come up again, directly up against Allah. So all your amal salihah that you did, your whole life becomes zero. So first is the acceptance, and second is the amal. So if you say, ya Sheikh, but you know, I accept this is in the Quran, but I still want to do it my way, then there's a chance you'll go to Jannah. I'm not giving an excuse, but I'm just saying that remember what I said in the beginning, two things, you must accept the command of Allah, sami'na wa ata'na, then you must carry it out. So if the brain is compromised, everything is compromised. That was the first vision that was shown to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Uda'uni astajib lakum." For example, Allah says in the Quran, let me give you the وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب سورة غافر. This is the 40th سورة verse 60. So 40-60. You are 30-30. Now it's 40-60. 40-60 Allah says وقال and your Lord says Sheikh Muhammad, who's your Lord? Maulana so-and-so, Imam so-and-so. Who's your Lord? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord. Same surah. What does Allah say? Wal hayy. Allah opens this. Allah says, Wal hayy. He's alive. Allah says, who's alive? La ilaha illahu. Wal hayy. La ilaha illahu. There is no ilah illa except him. Ask him with all sincerity in your deen. Beautiful. You know how the beautiful this verse actually ends? The verse ends where Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 40-65. Now there is a group going around Cape Town giving lectures in masajid. And I'm sure some of the members are yet to not to hear what Sheikh Faik has to say about what they say. And you're welcome. Welcome. House of Allah, everybody's welcome. You can record it, write it down. But don't misquote what I say. And I, when it comes to Allah, we only speak from the Quran. how can you speak? If you speak about Muhammad, you speak about. When you speak about Allah, you must go to the Quran first. And these people who are on this road, they somehow duck and dive the Quran. When it comes to Allah and call it, they now openly say, you can ask anybody, via anybody, dead or alive. It's very sad, you know, it's very sad times for me, because I know these people, I know who they are. They say, you can ask the awliya, via the awliya. You can ask by any dead person. All right, let's assume that is so. It's not, for argument's sake, let's say, okay, fine. You can ask the dead person. Some good, very good, or any dead person. So now where do we start? So they say these dead people are not actually dead, they are alive. Okay, fine. Accept that also. Nobody dies. Everybody is, we bury everybody with oxygen tanks and food. And, because they say these people are alive. They're alive. They make sujood in the Qabr. They salah there. They do everything there. They're serious. And they're serious about this. Not a joke for them. This is very serious. They say this is Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Okay. We've accepted that you can go through a wali. We've accepted that they are alive. Now, where do we start? Who's the best people to ask through? Now, I would answer that question. I would think the prophets. Don't you think so? I would think you would first call by the prophets. Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Musa, Nabi Nuh. Nabi Isa is a bit of a problem. Because if you as a Muslim also ask via Isa, then what's the difference between you and the Christians? Because they say you can't get to God, you must. Your salvation lies in Isa. If you don't believe in Jesus. But Isa was a prophet, then you know you got friends in places you don't want friends in them. Okay, let's take Isa out of the equation. Just for argument's sake. So, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alright, so Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's right. Now, who's the next line of Sahaba? Isn't it? Sahaba. Right. Next line, Awliya. Next line, the sheikhs who pass away. Right, the leaders, the Sufi sheikhs, particularly who pass away. Somebody asked them about the Sahaba, they say, you won't understand. Man said, but sheikh, you know, isn't the Sahaba higher than the awliya? They said, well, brother, you don't understand, you know, you don't understand how it works. You don't understand. They stopped by Tuan Guru. And then I've never heard any of them say, Tawazuk was ulama. Alazuk must do it. Alazuk must live and die. So if Sheikh Shaki was your Sheikh, we should ask, you know, Allahumma. So they are selective. Have you ever heard one of these shuyukh say, Allahumma antas? They're not. So they're ordering you. So don't do as I say, but don't do as I do. I'm saying it's okay, you can, and if you ask, what's happening there? We don't go to the Kramats. Oh, you don't go, but you tell other people to go and make dua. So what kind of nifaq is this? So what kind of credibility do you have? Where's your credibility as ulama? And I have advice for you. Now I know you won't take my advice, or say advice for we say by Fatih, subhanAllah. But I'm older than all of them. Some of them were my students. My advice to them, and those of you who must report back, please make a note of this. Suratul Baqarah. I'm going to give them advice from the Quran. So they can't say, we don't want to take his advice. Because if they do that, then they kafir. And I don't make anybody kafir. So my advice to them is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 282. 281, sorry. So if you can't remember 281, you mean 281. 281. So if you didn't bring a pen with, and you have to report back tonight, and you are a bit confused, remember 281. Verse 281 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And I'm not going to give you the verse. You first have to go before you report. First go, open the Quran, and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 281. That is my advice. Because it's a very serious matter, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not just, this is extremely serious. Allah says, call upon me, and you tell the people, hello. And they say, we don't understand Iyaka na'bud wa Iyaka nasta'in. So, you know, they don't understand what this means. Allah says, say, thee do we worship alone, and from thee alone do we seek help. So why have you never told us your understanding of this verse? You came to this masjid. Accusation was made against the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He also didn't understand. When the Quraysh said to him, Muhammad, you don't understand why we worship these idols. You will not understand. Prophet said, what don't I understand? Why do you worship the idols? They said, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مَا تَعْبُدُونَهُمْ. They said, we do not worship them إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. They said, Muhammad, you don't understand why we worship these. We don't actually worship these idols, man. Like the Christians will say, you know, you say, but how can you make God three? How can you say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? Every Christian will tell you, we don't believe like that. We believe in one God. But you Muslims don't understand. Isn't it? Say, you will never understand. You must have faith. You must have faith in the Pope, faith in the Rabbi. Then they will tell you, but that verse doesn't apply to Muslims. This Quran wasn't sent to Muslims. The Quran was sent to some alien people. Some of it doesn't apply to us, some applies to us. Fitrah, the fitrah of Allah is that I've created you only that you should worship me and ask me. We have a jealous God, my dear brothers and sisters. I sent you the Quran. I told you to call to me. You went to via somebody else. Who told you to do that? Did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say you should do that? Who was the closest to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you think? Who do you think was the closest to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Human being. Abu Bakr. And from his wives? Aisha. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died, where did they bury him? Where did they bury him? Come on, where did they bury him? In his house. In whose house? Aisha's house. Did she still live there after he was buried there? Yes. Bring me one incident, one hadith, one word from Aisha where she said, the Prophet was there in my bedroom. Every day I used to go to his grave and ask him for this or for that or for that. Ask these ulama. They quote all kinds of hadith, which we of course don't understand. Only they understand. Only now they understand. So yes, that is my message to them. Remember, 28 what? 28 how many? 281. Surah what? Surah 2. And the ayah is very short. The ayah is only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. That's the advice from the Quran. The second vision that the Nabi Sallallahu saw on the Isra, he saw people planting and harvesting at the same time. People planting and immediately harvesting the crop. So we asked Jibreel, oh Jibreel, man ha'ula. So the foundation is set for fitrah. The natural way. The straight way. Nikralachisi and cul-de-sacs. No. Straight. Sirat al-mustaqim. Where do you want to go? To Jahannam or Jannah? The road will lead to Jannah, my dear brothers. Sirat al-mustaqim. I don't say so. We ask Allah every day, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina al-amta alayhi. Jibreel asked, man ha'ula, oh Jibreel, who are these people who plant and harvest at the same time? He said, Hum al-mujahiduna fi sabilillah. They are the people who Strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the greatest striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is to call to the way of Allah. To call to the way of Allah. Call to the way of what? Tawheed. To call to the way of fitrah. The third vision which was shown to him was an old woman, ajuza, dressed in the most beautifulest of clothing. Third vision. So ask the Nabi, Nabi asks, Man hiya ya Jibreel? Who is this woman, O Jibreel? And we know that this world that we live in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, verse 20, أَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُنْ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخِرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, know that this world is a world of play, a world of amusement, a world of pomp, a world of bragging with each other, a world of amassing wealth, and having children. This is the world. This is the zina of the world. And this woman was dressed with the ornamentation and ornaments of this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this lady what is left of her life is left of the life of the world. Bu'istu, ana bu'istu. Nabi said, wasa'atuha kahatayn. I was sent, and qiyama is like this. My coming and qiyama is like this. And you see this old lady? What is left of her life is left of the world. What is the lesson for us? The lesson for us is that the world. Or 70 years, or 75 years, I don't know. But that's my world. Even if the world carries on for a million years, I will have. So, whatever. For the time that I'm here now. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw people cutting off their lips and cutting off their tongues continuously. And he asked Jibreel, Mana ulahi ya Jibreel, who are these people? And Jibreel said, Khutaba ul fitna. Khutaba al fitna. Who is the Khutaba ul fitna? Khutaba means speakers, people who speak, like I speak, people who speak to other people. Speakers of deen, speakers of knowledge. Khutaba ul fitna, speakers of fitna. So Prophet ﷺ, now fitna has got many kinds of meanings. So we asked Jibreel, what does it mean? Khutaba al-fitna. Jibreel said, Alladhina yaquluna ma la yaf'alun. They are those who speak, say things which they do not do. They tell you to ask by the wali, but they say Allahumma. You hear the dua. One of them makes a beautiful dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka bi anna al-ahad al-samad. Oh Allah, I ask you by the fact that you are one sustainer. Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad. You do not, you weren't born, nor do you beget anybody. This is the du'as they make. But they tell you, better to go via somebody because that person's got liyuqarribuna ila Allahi zulfa. Because he brings you closer to Allah because he's closer to Allah than what you are. I mean, this is public knowledge, so I'm talking about what they say in public, so they can say what I say in public. I say in public, you ask Allah directly. And we'll come to that. Why? Why is that so? Why should you only ask Allah directly? So you should tell him, but this is what Sheikh Faik says. He says, he quotes only from the Quran. No, where in the Quran? Oh, yes, the other thing is, I want to challenge them. I want to, your Sheikh, that you're going to report to, and you're going to say, say to him that Sheikh Faik says, or Faik says, or Faik says, or Buta says, whatever you want to call me, I don't care what name you call me, They call the prophet worse names. They call the prophet a liar, a swindler, a dukum, all kinds of names they call him. So, but I want to ask them, they must bring one verse of the Quran, just one single verse, where Allah says, because this is about Allah, dua is for who? Where Allah says, you make dua via Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or somebody else to me. Bring, if they can bring one verse, you're all witnesses to what I'm saying. They don't have to look in my face. They can send me an email. You stupid man, here's the verse. I'll be sorry. Say, you stupid sheikh, you don't understand. You don't understand anything. You stupid fool. This is the verse. Here Allah says, better for you to call via somebody else to me. Don't call me directly. Where's the verse? There's so many verses where Allah says, call on me directly. Where's your verse? Don't come with some weak hadith about this one who went to the Prophet and he was half dead, or this one went after the death. I don't want to hear that. This is about Allah. And we all agree on one thing, my dear brothers, because I can tell you this. If I had a check of $1,000, which I'm accused of getting and collecting every month at the Saudi embassy, I won't be imam here. Why should I take this job? Any job for that matter. Shame. You know, when people resort to these things, then somewhere there's a snake in the grass. For some reason. All right, so this is my offer. Bring one eye. Buy with somebody else. I'll take a full page advert at my expense. I won't ask the committee to help me. Nobody. Take my own money. I'll put that verse in the Muslim news. Straight from the Quran. Everybody can read it. And I'll make a public apology. What I'm going to do after that, I don't know. But that I promise you. Lisanum ahla min ra. Prophet said, their tongues will be sweeter than honey. These khutaba, these people will, they will do some one thing, and khatla is to, asitla da lakhla. The dumb means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, Allah uses ta'alaw. Allah says, ta'alaw. Allah says to the Jews, ta'alaw ila kalimatin sawa'an baynana wa baynakum. Allah says to the Jews, Allah uses word ta'alaw, ta'alaw. What a beautiful word Allah uses. What does this word mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Allah raises the daraja. Allah says, come, al, I'm raising your daraja. I'm raising you for you to understand. What do? They say, also means that dunalo diva driwana dia. Hulle verstaan nie so mooi die tauhidie. Ons maar nou maar saam gaan met die flow. Almal die soefies kon nou hier. En ek weet, ons raak nou, ek meen, as ons nie saam met die flow nie, dan gaan ons mis nou. It's a problem. It's a problem because die masjid gaan my afsit, die college wat die teach gaan my afsit. En, you know, there's financial losses en die ouwens met al my vrienden gaan allemaal, wat hulle is, allemaal in die bezigheid, hulle gaan allemaal vir my desert. I fear for this ummah. I fear for this ummah. Subhanallah. Because they're only happening now. I mean, if they had these beliefs 10 years ago, why didn't they say so? Why didn't they tell us then? Why tell us now? And many other signs he saw. One of the signs he also saw is a man carrying a big burden and trying to put more burdens on his back, which he can't carry. These are people who accept amana. Of course, the other thing also which they say, which is important for me to tell you, is you don't know the man's intention. How can you say that that man is making shirk if that man asked the wali to ask Allah? You don't know his intention. His intention is not to ask the wali. His intention is to ask Allah. And these people are people who have a love for Palestine. They curse the Jews. Like everybody, they curse. Why do they curse the Jews? And what do the Jews say? The Jews say, but you don't understand. We love the Palestinians. But they don't want to sit down with us and make peace. They keep on fighting and keep on throwing stones and keep on...
The Jews tell us everything. Our intentions are good. We want to have a Palestinian state. But you guys are against, you are anti-Semites. Do we believe them? You believe them? Why don't you believe them? Because their actions don't show that. I mean, how can a man intend to ask Allah that? Excuse me? Am I stupid? I see a man making sujood on a grave and you tell me, but you don't know what his intention is. Excuse me? I'm seeing him making sujood on a grave. Allah commanded me to make sujood to Allah. How could you tell me I don't know his intention? All right. The Mi'raj was essentially for what purpose? What was the objective of the Mi'raj? The objective of the Mi'raj was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that as a gift to his beloved Habibullah, he brought him into his presence. Wow. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. It is the only ibadah, or obligation rather, which Allah has placed upon Himself, upon the angels, and upon us. But that's only. And my angels put salawat on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So what do we say when Allah says that? What do we say? We say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Do we say, usalli ala Muhammad? You anybody say, usalli ala Muhammad? No, what do we say? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. What does usalli ala Muhammad mean? Usalli ala Muhammad means, I put salawat on Muhammad. I don't say that. I say, oh Allah, you put salawat on Muhammad. Why? Because salawat on Muhammad is an ibadah. It's a dua. So, when the Nukhim was saying salawat, dear Sheikh, send salawat via the Sheikh. You can't. Because the Prophet taught us, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I wanted to give him a gift to take to his beloved, which is us. And what was that gift which Allah gave him to give to us? The gift of Salah. He said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I gave you your gift by bringing you to me. You now, I'm giving you a gift for you, for your ummah. Nabi was one day sitting in the Masjid al-Nabi when he was crying, and the Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, ma yubkika ya Rasulullah? And he said, Ashtaqu ila ikhwani. I am longing for my brothers. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, alasna ashabuk. Are we not your brothers? Prophet said, no, you are my ashab, you are my companions. So they asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are your brothers? Prophet ﷺ said, الَّذِينَ يَأْتُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِكُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِي وَلَمْ يَرُونَ. Who are his brothers? I'm his brother. You are his brother. We don't need men. Look at that manner which Muhammad has given us. I can say, who's my brother? Muhammad is my brother. He told me. So when people come in and say they are the family of the Prophet, I say, fine, you're the family, but I'm his brother. Illa bi taqwa. No distinction between one Muslim and another Muslim except in taqwa, not in ascendancy or descendancy. No, we are not blood in Islam. We are brothers in faith, iman. So Allah gave him this gift of salah. What is this gift of salah? This gift of salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, we bring us in His presence 5 times every day. It's like the engineer who has engineered the car, or the mechanic, the car is brought to him and he plugs it into the computer and he repairs the car. Because he knows exactly what goes on inside that engine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us in front of Him 5 times a day. He's our engineer and He fixes our problems 5 times every day. Jacks up our iman, makes us devoted, makes us think about being good, and so forth and so on. That is why 50 was the salah in the beginning. 50. Why Allah make it 50? Just salah haswah make it for us. No. Allah doesn't need, we need salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us 50 in the beginning because this was like a gift. The more He can give it to us, the more. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy was so great, He brought it down to 5 and He said, because you will benefit, I'm giving you the reward of 50. In Islam, we have 5 arkanul Islam, isn't it? Arkanul Islam. First one is Shahada. La ilaha illallah Muhammadun. Second one is Salah wa iqam as-salah. Third one wa ita'i zakah. Fourth one, Sawm Ramadan. Fifth one, Hajj al-Bayt man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Look, Arkanul Muslim. Arkanul Islam. Now, what is the difference between Arkanul Muslim and Arkanul Islam? We know this Arkanul Islam. What is Arkan of a Muslim? The Arkan of a Muslim is 2 things. If you do these 2 things, you're a Muslim. If you say Shahada and you make Salah, you're a Muslim. All the other things are negotiable. If you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and you make Salah, you're a Muslim. Zakah, if you're poor, you don't have to pay. So, if you're sick, you don't have to fast. Hajj, you don't have money, you don't have to go. So, what's left? No getting out of Salah. You're pregnant, you make Salah. Only when you're dead, you don't have to make Salah. But my friends, they say, no. Even if you're dead, brother. See, if you have best saved, your dalil must first come from the Quran. So they say, yeah. So, Shahada and Salah. Now compare Salah to the others. Shahada, let's look at Shahada. If you say what, you don't have to say it again. Khalas, end of story. But the others, fasting. If you're traveling, you don't have to fast. If you're sick, you don't have to fast. If you don't have money, you don't have to go for Hajj. If you don't have money, you don't have to pay zakah. So what is left? Only one left. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, As-salatu imaduddin. Salah is the foundation of the deen, because you can take everything else away. That's why it's called the foundation. And Salah contains all the 5 pillars of Islam. Salah, every time you make Salah, you have to recite the Kalima. So the Kalima is part of the Salah. Zakah, what is Zakah? You give Zakah on what? On what do you give zakah? On your wealth. How do you make your wealth? Work. What do you need to work? Time. Simple economics. Simple. Work. You need work. You labor. You make money. Then you give zakah. When you make salah, what do you do? What is it? Does it take time? Does it take time from your time to make money? Of course, if it's 24 hours and it takes 1 hour to make salah, you are giving your time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you give zakah to who? Whose zakah is it? 2.5% to who? To Allah. You are only the wakil to give it to the poor. But who does the money belong to? Belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in salah, you are giving bigger than money, you are giving your commitment, your time, your devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting. Fasting has two meanings. The literal meaning of fasting and the religious meaning of fasting. What is the religious meaning of fasting? To stay away from food and drink and sexual relations from sunrise to sunset. That is in the salah. You don't eat, you don't drink. And more, you don't speak. And more, you don't move. Sayyidina to Maryam, Sayyidina Maryam, I am going to make fast to Allah. I'm not going to speak to anybody today. So her fast was not to speak. So if you say, I'm not going to do something, that means you're fasting. That is the linguistic meaning. No talking, no movement, no eating, no drinking, no sexual relations in the salah. Hajj, also in the salah. What do you face when you make salah? Where do you have to face? Must face. Where? You face the face Makkah. Where do you go when you go for Hajj? Go to Makkah. It's as if you are making Hajj in your ibadah if you can't make Hajj with your physical body. You can't afford to go there. I spoke to a young man the other day. And he said to me that he loves to travel. I'm about 30 years old. Nice young man. He said, Sheikh, I love to travel. I said, you like me, I love to travel. He said, he just came back from India. He said, oh, that's interesting. You must tell me, what was your experiences in India? So he says he went to the shrine of the great reformer and mujahid and missionary, Chisti. Of course, what people are doing there today is not to blame. I mean, they buried him there and they're just going, whatever they do. So this great man, I mean, he converted a lot of Hindus to Islam and so forth and so on. So he said he went to a masjid near the shrine. I don't want to tell you what happens inside the shrine, you know. My hair starts rising when I talk about these things. So he said, I went to a masjid and he went to make salah. I think it was Asr salah or Dhuhr salah, he went to make salah. So he says, after the salah, people got up. And there were some people who made 2 rakah sunnah after the salah, facing in another direction. So he asked the people, he said to them, what salah are they making, you know? He said, no, they're praying towards the qabr of the dargah of this Chisti. So when I tell you, astaghfirullah, I shouldn't say I tell you, but when I say, when I get emotional and I start raising my voice and I speak about these things so emotionally, I have seen with these eyes the results of what is starting now in this community. I lived in Malaysia. When I was there, studying there a few years ago, there was a man who started a movement called the Arqam movement. It was a Sufi movement based on economics. They had their own village, their own shops, their own everything, you know, and they were self-sufficient and they were doing very well. And their leader had 16 wives. After all, he was the peer. The ordinary laws of Islam didn't apply to him. The Malaysian government, in fact, he ran away to Thailand. He died there also. Because the Malaysian government said, no, you can't. This is not. So it starts off very well. So this Sufi sect has been inculcating them that the sheikh, to give barakah to the woman, she will bear a lot of children, be a good wife. She must sleep with this man first night. In Egypt, I saw our people make tawaf every Friday after Jummah. When I was in Pakistan, Islamabad, there was a great man who was buried there. Don't remember his name. And I went there to visit and I saw with my own eyes these eyes. For the first time in my life I saw it. Men and women standing in queues making sujood on the grave. I'm as if we're not doing that yet. In Indonesia, where we come from, our village is there. We also have a village. That's in Indonesia. We don't know exactly where it is anymore, but there is some village. They have integrated all the Hindu practices there. They call it Panchasila, and the government had encourages Panchasila. Panchasila means all the faiths belong to the same. All the rivers flow into one sea, one God. Everybody in Indonesia celebrates Christmas. It's a public holiday. Eid is a public holiday. Deepavali is a public holiday. Everybody must celebrate. Why? Why? Who's behind this? The Bush government set aside $23 billion for sadaqa for madrasas. You know this? This is... Yeah, those of you who know this. $23 billion the Bush administration set aside to build madrasas in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in wherever they could build. All this money was spent only on Sufi movements. There's no danger to Islam. They don't preach jihad. They say be friends with everybody. Why must you worry with us? Why must you have interfaith? Sit with your Christian brother. Have interfaith. And what do? We say, yeah, it's fine, you know. Interface. And the people we look up to, the people who are supposed to lead us, they fall into this trap. I sometimes wonder whether they actually read history. Do they read history? Do they know what's going on in the world? How is it possible for these people to travel the whole world? They never work. Where does the money come from? Where? We have one staying in Constantia with his four wives. Wow, how? Since when do Sufis stay in Constantia and in Bishop's Court? Is this Zuhud? One of the fundamentals of Sufism is Zuhud. Zuhud means you must wear one set of clothes, live in a... No food, sleep in the streets. That is what it is. That's what Sufism is. They live in Bishop's Court. Four wives. I don't want you to talk about this. No, don't talk about this. And for them, everybody's fine. Everybody's fine, you know. It's like this sheikh was, he was an intelligent sheikh, but he was sent to a wedding ceremony, to attend a wedding, and next to him sat his colleague who was on the faith, interfaith, Catholic priest was sitting next to him. So the Catholic priest said to him, said, Imam, nobody, have some bacon, man. No, there's nobody here, you know, your friends. No, I don't see anybody around. At least you should taste that, you know. I mean, but this was an intelligent sheikh, you know. He was a man who was on the straight path. But unfortunately, he was caught up in this interfaith. So he said to the Catholic priest, Inshallah. Catholic priest knows what Inshallah means. He says, Inshallah, the day you get married, I'll come and have it at your wedding. Because Catholics, please don't get married. Actually, insulting him, saying you should actually get married, you know. So, my dear brothers, when I speak to you, I see almost, I can see what's going to happen. And I'm sure the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could see what would happen if he started opposing these practices that people had in Makkah. But ultimately, I speak to you like this because I've been in this community for a long time. I've taught a lot of people. I'm going back to Allah. I'm gray now. My only interest is when I'm going to stand in front of Allah and Allah's going to ask me certain questions. There are certain things which I don't want to duck and dive because Allah knows all the answers. And I'm sure if you come in front of Allah and Allah asks you, who did you worship? Who did you call in the dunya? And you say, well, Allah, you said call me and I will answer you. What is Allah going to do to you? He's going to say, MashaAllah, that is what I sent. I said Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I sent the Quran. So your brother will come and Allah will say, no. He said, you see, my sheikh said, no, you see, my sheikh said, I couldn't speak to you directly because I was too weak, I was too sinful. I had to have somebody to speak through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, but I sent 124,000 anbiya. I sent the Quran. I sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ultimately he will say to you, I gave you the salah. I said to you, you want to get close to me? Wasjuda? What does Allah say? Wasjud? Waqtarib. Make sujood and come close to me. Because that is what the Sufis tell you. Say, you want to get close to Allah? You want to love Allah? Do this, do that. Allah says, Wasjud? Waqtarib. Qarb. Qarib. Make sujood and come close to me. Allah will say to you, but Muhammad, I brought Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to me. I gave him the gift. I said, yeah, give it to your people so they can come close to me. What must you do? Close, switch off the light and say, Allah, Allah, Allah. No. Allah doesn't say that. If that was the case, Allah would have... Tell your ummah, sujood. Tell your ummah, I said in the Quran, difference between shaitan. Allah said to shaitan, make sujood. He said, oh, sujood? I'll do my own thing. You want me to make sujood? I'll do my own thing. I've got my own thing. Why? Because I'm better than Adam. I don't have to do the things. Do you know these Islam sayings? No, I special stuff that I do. I do a special thing, you know. Because I'm better than them. My shaykh said I'm a good. Nobody knows what he told me. It's a secret. 1 o'clock in the morning, 5:01:15 every night for 3 minutes, I must take the tasbih, swing it in a certain direction, and that is all I have to do. That's what shaitan said. Shaitan said, oh Allah, khalaqatani min nar wa khalaqatahu min tin. You made me from fire, you made it from clay. I'm better than him, man. Why should I make sujood to Adam? So what's the difference between shaitan and non-shaitan? Sujood. So if you don't make sujood or don't believe in sujood, what are you? You're shaitan. You're worse than shaitan. Why are you worse than shaitan? Because on the day of Qiyamah, shaitan will say, he will say, oh Allah, I admit I misled them, but they wanted to be misled. But I'm back to Tawbah now. Please forgive me. I just showed them the road and they followed me. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I give you a very simple message. I've quoted one hadith tonight of the Quran, of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the message was from the Quran because the Isra and the Mi'raj is both mentioned in the Quran. And our first port of call is always first the Quran. فَإِذَا تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Allah says, and if you differ in anything, go back to Allah and His Rasul. First Allah, then His Rasul. If you want to know how to make salah, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he said, zakah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All this come up. But when it comes to tawheed, how to believe in Allah, and who is Allah, and how we should worship Allah, where must we go? To the book of Allah. The book of Allah. And this is the legacy that we must leave behind for our children, inshallah. And I don't want you, I cannot make you accept what I'm saying to you. Because the Prophet couldn't do it. There's still 4 billion non-Muslims in the world. Lots of people he couldn't convince. The closest people he couldn't convince. Our uncle he couldn't convince. So my job is not to convince you. My job is just to tell you what the Quran says. And the hidayah comes from Allah. So I'm not worried whether you... And I don't want followers. Please don't tell people you follow me. Please don't tell people I follow what he says. If he says the Quran, I say, well, I agree with him when he speaks the Quran. But don't say it. You know, because on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to appear in front of Allah alone. Nobody of you is going to be there. And when you appear, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be there. I'm telling you now already. I will have so many things to worry about. I'm not going to be there. So rather get yourself a sheikh if you think he's going to be there, but I'm certainly not going to be there. So hang yourself onto the words of Allah and hang yourself onto the words of Muhammad. Yes, we can, you're all my friends, mashallah, we're all brothers. But can Allah Muni say, further than that, no. Your commitment, your trust, your devotion must be 100% to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 100%. 100% to Allah. No deviation. You love your wife, you love your children, but the love of Allah is different. You love Allah. Love Allah. And love His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By following His Sunnah, by doing the things He did, by preaching the things He preached. And you'll sleep with a smile on your face, no worries. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night to make your wird. No, get up to make tahajjud, yes. But don't get up for other things. You know, switch the light on, you see your sheikh's photograph hanging there and you salute. You know, people do this. I've seen people, they go, they have to go out in the morning, they first rub on the photo of the sheikh and then they, all the shirk, all this type of shirk is there. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, inshallah, that we internalize the beauty of salah. We see how salah is the imad, the foundation of our Islam. We love Allah and we love to worship Allah. And we just love to be on the straight path and we don't veer from the straight path. No matter if a tsunami of Sufis come, tsunami of... by the way, I mean, I'm a great and avid reader. In the history of Islam, there's been great Sufis. People who have taken to battle against the kuffar. People who have converted millions of people to Islam through their life and their lifestyle. Not through their word, but through their lifestyle. So they were excellent people. But some of them got so involved that one Hallaj said, eventually he said, because they have this belief, all Sufi movements have this belief, 90% of them, they call it Wahdatul Hujud. Wahdatul Hujud means Allah is everywhere, including in you, inside you. So this man said, if Allah is inside me, ana al-haq, then I'm Allah. This is called ishq. You say, they say there's a word called ishq, which means love. It is so deep that you become Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And of course, when the Abbasid Khalifa saw this, they killed him. They beheaded him. So we start off with the dhikr. We start off with the dhikr. Oh, lekom dhikr. Then we go to the next level and the next level. They call it a honey trap. What about honey trap? Honey trap. Come to our dhikr. Come join us. Make dhikr. Subhanallah. ek maak gedink, my mama het gedat gemaak. But how did we make it? Did anybody kiss my father? Said nobody. Did anybody come and ask him when you want to get married? Sheikh Khan, ek moet die mensie toe. No. You made the dhikr, and when the dhikr was finished, that was the end of the road. You go home to your wife and children, your life carries on. That's how we make dhikr. That's how I make dhikr. But today, no, it's not like that. Today, when you join the dhikr, you have to join the jamaat. That becomes your sheikh, and now your whole life revolves around. Whatever decision you have to make via that person. That is not part of Islam. So yes, part of our, this is our tradition. That's a good tradition. The Arabs call it shay'un halal yuridu bihil batil. Something which is allowed, but people use it to make batil. So be careful. All I say is, be careful. That's all I say. I'm not saying anything. Look at your Quran. See your goal, which is Jannah, and see whether this thing is going to lead you to Jannah or it's going to lead you away from Jannah. If it's going to lead you away from Jannah, you say, well, I remain who I am. Say, La ilaha illallah, make my salah, and put my trust in Allah, and throw me at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In of students. You want to go home, and I also want to go home. فاتحه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبه للمتقين والجنه للموحدين ولا عدوان الا على الظالمين والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وقائدنا وزعيمنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين اللهم انا نسالك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ربنا آمنا بما انزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك لك الحمد بالقرآن لك الحمد بالإيمان لك الحمد على نعمة الأهل والوالي والولد لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك النعمة كله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل واقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير والعافية إنك على كل شيء قدير دعوة فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحية فيها السلام وآخر الدعوة من الحمد لله